Bhagavan is realized only by the process of bhakti. So now we're, yes, page 116. Vriti. Next, through the prayers of Anshuman to Lord Kapiladeva, it is shown that those who are under the clutches of material modes can't understand the Lord, whereas the wise sages, such as the Kumaras, who are beyond the material mode and surrender to the Lord by the process of bhakti, can know him. Right? So, bhakti being transcendental, the Lord being transcendental, and the only way to approach the Lord is through bhakti, therefore one has to give up that, you have to surrender to the Lord. Otherwise, one can't get beyond the modes. That's the point. The modes are going to control you. And so, if you're in the material world, your conditions, you will be controlled by the modes. It's just the way it goes. There is no other alternative. So, what we see is that the great sages are there, but it's only the Kumaras who are surrendered to the Lord, they go beyond the modes. Then they can know the Lord. So that means the devotee, even if he's not at the present like the great sages and liberated, but he surrenders to the Lord, then they can go beyond. Right? So that's the specialty.
So Maharaj in the spiritual world, everybody is surrendered to
him. Yeah, everybody surrenders.
So there is no material mode.
There's no modes in the material world. The spiritual world. That's the whole point. It's beyond the modes. That's the specialty of the place. Anucheda 121. The wise can realize Bhagavan directly by bhakti. That is expressed in three verses. Na pashyati tvam param atmano jano. Na buddhyate dvapi samadhi yuktibhi. Kuto pare tasya mana sharira dhi. Visarga shrishta vayam aprakasha. Even Lord Brahma is to this very day unable to see you, who are superior to the jiva by meditation. He cannot... I think there's supposed to be a comma after jiva.
Okay.
Right? Because the point is, it's not the jiva by meditation. Mm-hmm. It means he able to see you, who are superior to jiva by meditation. In other words, Lord Brahma is unable to see you by meditation.
Yes.
Yeah. He cannot see you by logic. So what to speak of others like us, who have been created by Brahma's mind, body, and intelligence, and who are ignorant? 9.8, Srimad Bhagavatam 9.8.21. Uddhriti, Srila Prabhupada. All living beings in the material world are influenced by the three modes of material nature. Even though Lord Brahma is in the mode of goodness. Similarly, the demigods are generally in the mode of passion, and living entities lower than the demigods, such as human beings and animals, are in the mode of ignorance or in mixed goodness. Right? So they'll be situated on goodness, but it's not pure goodness, but the predominance will be of goodness. Or the living entities, then there'll be a mixed goodness. There'll be a lot of passion and ignorance. Therefore, Anshuman wanted to explain that because his uncles, who had burnt to ashes, were under the modes of material nature, they could not understand Lord Kapiladeva. Because you are beyond even the direct and indirect intelligence of Lord Brahma, he prayed, unless we are enlightened by your lordship, it will not be possible for us to understand you. Atapi te deva padmadabha. No, Atapi te deva padambuja dvaya prasada leshanu grihita evahi. Janati tattvam bhagavan mahimno nachanya eko pi chiram vichin van. My Lord, if one is favored by even a slight trace of the mercy of your lotus feet, he can understand the greatness of your personality. But those who speculate to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead are unable to know you, even though they continue to study the Vedas for many years. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.29. The Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, can be understood by one who is favored by the Lord. The Lord cannot be understood by others. Right? Because he's being beyond, everything's expanding from him. Everything's his energy. So to understand him as a person is going to be by his grace. It's not going to happen by any other method. So, therefore, that's the only way. It's by, and for him to reveal himself means it's through bhakti. He's not doing that through some other method, right? Because he deals with the devotees with devotion. So that's the whole point. So then we deal back with devotion. So no other process is of interest, because everything already is him. So he's interacting based on devotion. That means directly as Bhagavan, as the Supreme, like that. Then yes, he'll interact according to how which aspect of his expanded energy they're dealing with, and in what quality they're dealing with it. They deal with his energy according to his direction, you know, according to scripture. Then they get piety, and he'll reciprocate his piety. Right? Or if knowledge, he'll reciprocate his knowledge. But that's all being done on the Brahman and Paramatma platform, not as Bhagavan. So Bhagavan, it's only in bhakti that he'll reveal himself. So that's the specialness. So even though he's manifest his form through his internal potency, but unless one is blessed by the Lord to appreciate, even though he's there, they won't know. You know? So that's why Anshuman is pointing out that his uncles, who had been burnt to ashes, then they were under the modes. They couldn't see, even though Kapila Dev's right there. Brahma, Ajana, does not see you and does not understand you, who are superior to Atma, Atmana Param, not seen by external vision. He cannot see the Lord in realization by samadhi, or understand the Lord mentally by logic. Brahma cannot see you. So what to speak of other beings more recent, Kuta Apare, seeing or understanding you? The reason they are recent is described. Our minds, bodies, and intelligence have been created by Brahma, Tasya. Mind is Sattva, indicating Devatas. Body is Tamas, indicating animals. Intelligence is Rajas, indicating humans. You are unmanifested to us, Aprakasha. How can we see you? Right, so because of Brahma's devotion and all that, then the Lord is revealing. So Brahma is seeing, but it's not because he's Brahma. See, that's the important thing. Because he's Brahma, that doesn't qualify him to see the Lord. It's because of devotion he can see the Lord. Just like Shiva, he can't see the Lord, but because of devotion, then he sees the Lord. So it has to be, you know, very clearly understood that it's only through devotion he can be understood. So if Brahma and Shiva are seeing the Lord, that's because of devotion. Anucheta 122. What others see is then described. Persons with material bodies, dominated by the three gunas, see only objects composed of the gunas in waking and dream states, and see only tamas in deep sleep. Their minds are bewildered by your maya, with knowledge only of external objects. They do not know you situated in them. Srimad Bhagavatam 9.8.22. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. Unless one is situated in the transcendent loving service of the Lord, one is unable to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is situated in everyone's heart. However, because the conditioned souls are influenced by material nature, they can see only the actions and reactions of material nature, but not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One therefore must purify himself internally and externally. Apavitra pavitrova sarva vastam gato piva. Yasmaret pundarikaksham sabahya bhyantara suchihi. To keep ourselves externally clean, we must bathe 3 times daily. And for internal cleanliness, we must cleanse the heart by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. The members of the Krishna conscious movement must always follow this principle. Bahya bhyantara suchihi. Then it will one day be possible to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. Srimad Bhagavatam 8:22 purport. Those who have material bodies do not know you, though you are situated in them. Swa shamstam. Rather, they see the gunas. Sometimes they see tamas. The 3 modes dominate their intelligence. In deep sleep, there is tamas. While in waking or dream sleep, depending on intelligence, they see objects. They do not see you, who appear as Atma to the Atmaramas, free of the gunas. The reason for not seeing in all these cases is given. Because, Yaha, their minds are bewildered by Maya and they do not know you. Or they do not know you, by whose Maya their minds are bewildered. Right, so they're bewildered by Maya, so they don't understand the Lord. Or you can look at it that being bewildered by the Lord's Maya, that's why they don't understand. Right. So either way, then they can't understand because he's beyond the modes. So they can only function with the modes.
Yes.
You know. So that's the whole point is that they're only in the whether awake or in dreaming state, they function with intelligence, mm-hmm. and that intelligence then means that's the mode of passion. You know, it's just like here. Everybody, you know, they say, oh, they present it as so glorious. Oh, that's not logical and this and that. But that's intelligence. Intelligence is mode of passion. Right? And so then they're already, just by that statement, pointing out that they're human and they're not actually as developed as they'd like to be. Mind means they've accepted in goodness, this is the scripture, this is what I'm supposed to do, this is what it says, and then they try to apply themselves.
So now with passion, we see only matter.
You can only see matter, because that's the whole thing. They want to see it with their eyes. Where is God? I don't see him. It says, you don't even see the back of your head. What are you talking about? You know. So that's the whole thing, is that due to motive passion, it's all about themselves and all about their gain, and in passion and intelligence works through senses. So intelligence means that sensual knowledge. Right. So our perception of everything is through the senses. Right. So our connection with the world is through the 10 senses. That's controlled by the mind. Because the mind is decided, because it has to be solid. It's not just this mechanical aspect. We may say, oh, we're objective and you know, it's just mechanical and all this. But actually it's not. Otherwise, if it's just mechanical and it's just objective, why are they in their particular field? They chose a field. Why? The intelligence chose the field? Their mind chose the field. You know, and then they think, "Ma, my field's better than their field." That's also the mind. That's also subjective. Why did they choose that particular university? And this, for the benefit that they will get. You know, they'll try to claim, no, it's for the higher knowledge and this and that. Then why is it the guy that got the Nobel Prize is at another university in another country? Why aren't you there? If it's all about knowledge, you would give up your seat now at the university and that and go over there. And, you know, humbly learn from that person. No, they're not. It's all about their seat. You know. So the whole point is it's all passion. You know, and that's the good part of it. The rest of it's just ignorance. Because the body is ignorance. So that's of the same as the animals. You know, the demigods are made of goodness. Their bodies are goodness. So they're not like the animals. You know? So us, the body is made of ignorance, and then with the intelligence, we kind of make it move around. So that's the difficulty, is that we're so proud of our position, though the position is not actually that glorious. The only thing glorious about the human is the ability to become God conscious in such a short time. Right? And having no other actual purpose. Demigods got to run the universe. That's their job. We don't. We're supposed to go back to Godhead. And then you have a place in society, according to Varnashram, how you maintain yourself. Like that. But that's all. The duties are only so you can maintain yourself so you can go back to Godhead. But the demigods, they actually have to manage the universe. You know? You don't hear of the demigods giving it up, going to the forest, meditating. You don't hear of that. You know? Humans, yes. You know, so after 25, 30 years, then they're going to the forest. Right? You know, that's 25 days for the demigod. So how much longer is it going to take? So that's why they see human form as an advantage as far as spiritual life goes. But as far as socially, it's like, you know.
I think a person who, like in India, when a person accepts the demigod, so if when you accept some living entity who are superior to human being, there is more tendency to develop humility.
Yes, means the whole point is we're supposed to be have that humble service attitude towards the Supreme Lord.
Yes.
So therefore, in education, everybody goes through that, you know. In education, you're supposed to be submissive to the teacher. No, that nowadays, and you can say whatever you like, and the attitude, and it's all. So, where's the actual character? Where's the benefit? So they're missing out on these things. That's the difficulty. They're not getting what should be gotten from there. You know, and then everything you work like that. Then you know you have to be submissive to whoever you work with. Then you're going to have these whatever it is, everything is made where you have to be submissive, you're serving.
Yes.
All of them. Every position. So that's what the whole purpose of the Vedic system is for. But nowadays I use it as a matter of pride. You know what I'm saying? You're in a position that's not socially so great, so then you're humble. And then the point of humility, then you can surrender to the Lord very nicely. But instead, people turn it around, and they go on marches, and they have, you know, their movements, and their hashtags, and all this, just so that they can have all this attitude. So they're dynamically trying to increase the mode of ignorance. And somehow, and because of ignorance, now, one of the symptoms of ignorance is that you think religion becomes irreligion and irreligion becomes religion. So the tradition and what should be done and the recommendation of scriptures and authorities, that they're rejecting. And then because of that, then they're not developing. And they're going in the wrong direction, and they're so confident that they're doing the right thing. So that's why, you know, one has to be so careful to avoid these modes, you know, because they're just so detrimental. So that's why then it's recommended you follow these. The Vedic path is designed just to bring you to bhakti. You know, it may take a long time, you know, ourselves as, example, you know, that we've been in the material world since time immemorial, but now, finally, then we've come in contact. So, but the point is that you're developing these mentalities that are useful in Krishna service. And once they've been connected to Krishna, now it becomes useful. So in other words, you've been pious before, that doesn't bring you to Krishna consciousness. But having come to Krishna consciousness, now you engage that piety in Krishna service, now it becomes devotion. No, but so it's mode of passion that we think, oh no, you have to have this and that. Mode of ignorance, you have to have this and that. Then only. I was so intelligent, that's why I came to Krishna consciousness. So, you know, unless we have good qualities, you can't advance in Krishna consciousness. You know, oh, these devotees are immoral, they can't advance in Krishna consciousness. You know, where is this coming from? It's coming from our own minds, our own attachments, our own misgivings. It's not coming from reality. You know, but then, oh, but if God's good, then how can it be? So then we're just attached. And why are we attached to good? Because in good, if everything's good, I will get benefit. If it's a good, peaceful environment, I'll get benefit. Yes. So that's why you see us when they say everyone's equal or we care about everyone, they only care about those who they don't feel threatened from. Either who are like-minded or are, you know, in their mind, the innocent. You know, so in other words, they apply the same thing. They associate with, you know, those that they see as superior, you know, let's say Martin Luther King, so then they respect him, then they're with their friends, and they're, you know, have that kind of camaraderie. Then those who they see as ignorant but, you know, innocent, then they'll be, you know, accommodating to them. And those that are inimical to their position, and that, then they're enemies. When they avoid. So they're not, they don't actually practice their philosophy. You know, because it's based on what's good for them or their extended self. You know, what they've what they identify with, and now then they say that this is important. You know, maybe it's the trees, and so then they identify with the trees. So then, you know, if somebody's supporting the trees, then okay, then we're allies. And if they're not, then we're enemies. But what happened to, you know, all the equality? You know, the point is that they are not seeing it in the right way, or they're dealing improperly with the forest. But then it's a matter of education. It's a matter of association. But no, their point is no, it's just punishment. So that therefore you can see is it's just passion and ignorance. There's no goodness, because how did they define? Why are they deciding about the trees? You know, why trees? Why not bushes? Why not marigolds or petunias? You know, go around the city. There's a definite lack of petunias in the city. You know. So, no, they've just decided on the trees. And where? In the Amazon. In their own country, they're cutting down trees. No problem. It's just like they go out. Let's say they have a nice piece of land. Oh, let's put our house here. You know, then they have to remove a couple of trees. But no, but the trees we'll use in making the house and everything like that. And, you know, so it's all right. Well, if they cut down a forest in Brazil, but the point is they don't just cut it down and leave it there. They cut it down and then they ship it around the world. That's how they make their money. You know, and then you buy the wood. We only use natural, we use wood. Where did it come from? Did it come from the parking lot out there, you know? You know, how long ago was that parking lot made? So the point is it's coming from somewhere else. They're cutting down a tree somewhere. You know, they're happy to read something, you know, like that. That's coming from a tree. You know? So the whole difficulty comes down is that they're not seeing it connected to the Lord. So because it's Krishna's trees, that's why we're careful about them. So we're careful about all living entities. But being engaged in Krishna's service, then that's perfection. So yes, a tree is cut down and engaged in Krishna's service, then that's fine. But if it's just cut down for sense gratification, you know, which is, you know, what the materialist is doing, then what's the point? So that takes it to pure goodness. Like that. But goodness is at least then you're following Shastra, what Shastra says about it. But here it's not about Krishna, it's not about Shastra, it's about the benefits they'll get based on their identification with the body. So it's passion. So, you know, and so when we say, you know, here's, then we're based on the bodily platform, you know, for sense gratification or extended sense gratification. That's still the body, that's still passion and ignorance. You know, we're social, like the is there not the term social? Humans are social animals. Because that's what they are. They're just a social animal. You know, like bees or termites or, you know, ants or something, or wildebeests, something, you know, they hang out together like that. So the difference means is that humans, because then you follow Shastra, and then you're following that to please the Lord. That brings it to the transcendental path.
Now the difficulty is when we have education, when we are young, without Krishna consciousness, without Shastra, the mind, the intelligence is arranged in such a way that the tendency is always to develop passion and ignorance, to be in passion and ignorance for all life.
Yes. It's your education in those early years, they call them formative years.
Yes.
Formative years. Yes. And, you know, it prepares you for a lifetime of ignorance, you know.
It's difficult to chant when we are adults.
Yes, but that's why then it's through chanting the holy name and association with Vaishnavas. So by the chanting process, then that can bring you to the transcendental platform. Because otherwise, for us to act like that, so when devotees say, oh, no, we have to change how we behave and act and everything like that. Yes, but that only can work if it's in the context of Krishna consciousness. In other words, Krishna consciousness, being Krishna conscious, now you're aware of, you know, Vaishnava etiquette, social etiquettes, and these kind of things. Then it will have a meaning. Then you can do that. It'll take time, but you can do that. But if you say, no, we have to be conscious of these things, otherwise, you know, we're not going to move forward and all that. The saying is that there isn't a snowball's chance in hell that it'll happen. Literally. You know, it's like, what are the issues of today? The social issues of today? There's so many. But which ones are resonating in the movement? The ones that were resonating back in the 60s. You know? That's like 50 years. You know, they could move on from there. You know? But it's those ones that are resonating. Why? Because, like you said, they grew up in that environment when they were teens, early 20s, you know, college age. These were important to them. So now when they're 60s, 70s, 80s, it's still important to them. So if you haven't been able to change these issues in 50 years, then how is it now you're going to say everyone's going to become wonderful and nice? It's not going to happen.
It's like a hope.
Yes.
But nothing concrete.
Hope against hope, Prabhupada says. So it's only by the chanting process. In other words, it's not because of their wonderful background that they're thinking this now. Right? It's because of chanting Hare Krishna that they become aware that, you know, they need to be a little bit more better behaved. But, you know, Vaishnava etiquette, is that a new thing? It's something that's never been heard of before? Nectar Devotion doesn't discuss any Vaishnava etiquette. You know? You know, Bhakti Churumaya said, always do lectures on Vaishnava etiquette. And he'd be reading from Nectar Devotion. You know, that was one of his specialties, was Vaishnava etiquette. So that's the point is that it's only by chanting that we become refined, that we become aware of these things. These things become of value. But at the same time, if you don't see them that they've come from Krishna and they're used in Krishna's service, then we will be bewildered by the modes of nature. Right? Like that. So, yes, everything's included. That's the point, is that faith that everything's already included in bhakti. Bhakti, by performing it, says all the 26 qualities are there, but they come from bhakti, not from the internet. You know, it's not because I push hashtag and then type something that now I have those qualities. You know what I'm saying?
Unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately. If it was that easy, it'd be really great, you know. Just push hashtag, you know, Braja Prema, and then, you know, Hari Bol. Done. Anything else?
Yeah. You know?
Hashtag Mahabhav, you know. So, you know, it'd be great. But unfortunately, you have to put in a little more effort than that.
Yeah.
Maybe if you type that in, you know, 108 times a day, every day, for the next 10 years, you know, that meditation, then yes, we'd get purified.
But it seems that one of the difficulties when we practice Krishna consciousness over the years,
mm-hmm.
one of the difficulties is to chant with quality. For example, because to chant Hare Krishna, we are chanting Hare Krishna, but to avoid the offense, to understand, to relate, to address to a person, mm-hmm. it's not easy. I remember a few years ago, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he was giving a class in temple, and he said, many of us, being proper disciples, are chanting since 40, 50 years,
mm-hmm.
and we are still in the mud.
Mm-hmm.
So it means the difficulty is to go to the right mood, right desire, right attitude,
mm-hmm.
and to maintain them.
Yes. Because it's a matter of consciousness.
Yes.
It's not because I'm chanting, therefore, because that's
yes.
karma.
Yes.
Chanting's not karma, but thinking that because I'm chanting I should get this result, that's karma. It's because I'm serving Krishna to please him, surely he will be pleased, because Krishna is all-merciful. And because of his mercy, then it will get. So if I don't have these things, it's because somehow or another I'm not pleasing Krishna to the fullest.
Yes.
I'm still in Krishna consciousness, so
yes.
Krishna must be.
Yes.
You know, we can see is that advancement and that is there, purification is there,
yes. Yes.
But it hasn't come to a platform that we would, you know, find ideal.
Yes.
But that's still going to be by the same process of just trying to please Krishna.
Yes. Yes.
So that,
yes. Yes.
So like that.
In one sense, it is very simple, but as a sense, the mind intelligence is not always submissive to that idea.
Yes, because a passion, we always are thinking something must happen. I did this, I got a result.
Yes.
But the point is as we see, the Sankarshan Prajumna Adi Ruda, these aspects, is that in Prajumna, yes, you're using intelligence, engaging the senses, and things get done, and you get a physical result. In other words, I work with something physical, I get a physical result. I work with something mental, I get a mental result. A sensual result, right? It's everything's direct like that. So, you know, body, mind, and words. Whatever the field you've worked in, that's where you get your result. Just like if I make an offense on the bodily platform, I'll get the result physically. I did it in words, I'll get it in words. I did it in the mind, I'll get it in the mind. So, same way for positive, it comes in kind. Like, I plant potatoes, I'll get potatoes. Right? You know, it's not that it'll be something else. I don't have to worry, it's that we planted potatoes and everyone's in anxiety, you know, will we get potatoes this year? Or, you know, we're going to end up with pumpkins like last year, you know, like that. You know, how much pumpkin can you eat, you know? And so like that, you know, and then, you know, so... Okay, you know, let's go out and check, and they come out, and then somebody comes back and says, he's got, you know, his face is down and all that. So what happened? What happened? What did we get? What did we get? Said, this time we got Corella, you know, like that. And so, you know, Grandpa is happy, you know, because, you know, his liver is bad, but, you know, everybody else is not, you know, not impressed. So... No, it works in the same field. So the point is you engage the senses with the sense objects in activities, it will transform and you'll get a result in that same field. But the point is that you've gotten that result, that does not mean it's bhakti. That you've done that to please the Lord, it's offered to the Lord. Either that you've done it, then offered to the Lord, or you're doing it with the intent of the results is already for pleasing the Lord, either in renunciation or sannyas. But the point is, it's already, if that's the point that makes it transcendental. Right? Otherwise, then, yes, people are functioning on the material platform, and that. So we can't say that, no, this is what's going to come. No. Yes. It's by Krishna revealing, Krishna giving his mercy. He removes the things within the heart. We're making endeavor for it to go. It's just like that story of the sparrow and the ocean. Because she's making that firm endeavor, then Garuda comes and helps. But if she was just sitting back and saying, hey, Garuda, can you swim? We make the endeavor, and Krishna then reciprocates. We say, oh, but I'm working so hard. But the point is you know, working so hard, yes. I'm putting in 10 paisa, and so where is my, $1 billion? But you put in 10 paisa. Says, yeah. It's paisa. Yeah. And you want dollars. Yeah, of course. 10 paisa equals $10 billion. Says, yeah. So the whole point is however much endeavor we put, it's not that great compared to what Krishna's giving. So that's the point, is no matter what we do, this conditioned life and its its facilities and its opulences is nothing compared to receiving the opportunity to serve Krishna, Swayam Krishna. His Swarup is the source of everything. So you're taking an infinite, like a grain of dust, and offering that and getting the storehouse. So then it's not like, oh, I did so much on this and that. Maybe it's not, it's that's not worth it. Not this life. Ooh, this. Just the mode of ignorance. So. Point is this, no. You see what's being offered? So and it has to be consistent. Like Prabhupada gives the example. You come up and knock on the door. One knock. Right? And then go away. Then someone just, if you just hear, it's kind of like, what was that?
Yes.
That's it. But if you hear regular knocking, hey, howdy ball, then you go open the door. So that's the point, is that's why regular, because you're regular, then that means then it's a value to you. Otherwise, at the moment, yes, there's the sentiment, someone mentioned it in the class, it was a nice kirtan, there was, something moving that was there, and then you have that, and that's very good. But it's when it's consistent, then it's something that you can consistently live with. Otherwise, if I just feel like it now and then after some time, I'm into doing something else, whatever it is, making, how you say, something for the kids or something, And so then I make like that. Then, they come and says, so here's Prema, and like that, and says, no, I'm busy. Can you just wait a minute? I'm making the bed now, like that, cleaning up the room. Kids make such a mess, like that. You got kids, Like that. Bhakti Devi's sitting there going, So the point is, no, it's because of that constant, because going back to Godhead, it's constant. So if you're constant, that's the natural place for you. But if it's only occasional, then, it's like, other things. Like somebody can do something all the time. They have no problem with it. And someone else likes the same thing, but occasionally. So, and it's nice. But who becomes, expert at it? The one who's always doing it. So that's the thing. So that stableness, so where does that come from? It comes from the process of bhakti. So in other words, the process of bhakti is the source of everything. No one, as mentioned here by Anshuman, no one knows or understands that. That's because they're under the modes. So then when someone comes from the spiritual world and reveals, so everybody wants to know what's the secret and, the thing that no one else knows, we're given it. But now that we've heard that, then it's like gossip. We want something else. But no, this is so special that we've been given this opportunity. It's so special. So then one takes that. But instead, we have some faith in, our own mind, others, their values, what's socially going on, wealth or position, and like that. But you've been doing that since time immemorial. Why not move on? like that. So that's the. Or in this, can you be known?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Can you be known by reflecting with this intelligence? Not at all. You are beyond our knowledge, but you are known by devotees. That is explained in the next verse. Tam tvam aham jnana ganam svabhava pradvasa maya guna bheda mohahi sanandana yer muni munibhir vibhavyam katam vimudhav pari bhavayami. How can I, so bewildered, think of you, who are concentrated knowledge, who are realized naturally by sages like Sanandana, who have destroyed illusion and the concept of difference caused by the gunas of Maya? Right? So we're bewildered. He's the concentration of knowledge, and he's been understood by the sages who have destroyed this illusion and concept of difference. You know, the gunas. So the gunas, they just go back together, and they move beyond them, right? Because originally they're all together. So you just, one thing's put back into the next until they're all stuffed back into Padang, like that. It's a mechanical process. So by chanting, that happens anyway. You know, but these sages are so powerful that they can go through mechanically and do this. You know, and we're bewildered. You know. How can I know you, Tvam, the shelter of the superior Shakti with astonishing functions? What is that Sarup? It is a form of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Jnana Ghanam. Thus, Sahasranama Stotra says, Anyudesya Bapuhu. The Lord's form is indescribable. The meaning is this. Since you are composed of knowledge, You should be knowable as the object of intelligent reflection. But overcome with the gunas of Maya, I am incapable of reflection. And we can think of so many things. It's not that we sit down to meditate, and it's not that we can't meditate. It's just that we end up meditating on something other than what we were planning on. What is the proof that I am made of knowledge and bliss? Krishna asks. Then it said, you are directly realized and are the subject of reflection, sam vibhavyam, by the sages such as Sananda, who know Bhagavat Tattva, who have destroyed the illusion created by the gunas of Maya. The owls do not recognize the sun with its revelation of qualities, but others realize its qualities. Similarly, you cannot be known by persons with inexperienced vision, but are realized with your qualities by your wise devotees. The Creator created external senses. Therefore, man sees external objects, not the inner Lord. A wise man, desiring immortality and turning his eyes inward, sees the Lord within. Katha Upanishad 2.1.1. But it's by Krishna's revelation that one can then see from within, he can see how the Lord is there. Like Prabhupada mentions in 10th canto, how the pure devotees, they don't exactly see how everybody else sees. When they see everything connected to Krishna, so they see Krishna in everything. But that's by the internal eye, that's Shastra Chakras. Right. Bhaktir Evainam Nayati Bhaktir Evainam Darshayati Bhakti Vasa Purusha Bhaktir Eva Bhuyasha Bhuyashi. Bhakti alone brings the Lord, and bhakti alone enables one to see him. The Lord is controlled by bhakti. Bhakti alone is great. Matara Shuti Yam Evaisha Vrinute Tena Labhya tasyaisha atma vrinute tanum svam. The Lord reveals his form to the person whom the Lord chooses. Katha Upanishad 1.2.23. Anshuman spoke thus to Kapila. So the point is, the Lord, who he chooses, then he reveals himself. And how is that? Through devotion. Anshuman spoke thus to Kapila. Priti, with the description of the qualification of the jivas for realizing the sarup of Bhagavan, in the current Adhikarna, the author concludes the discussion of the Adhyaya, which enables, establishes the superiority of Bhagavan over Brahman. Summary of Adhyaya. It's cold, so then summer.
Okay. So nice.
Yeah. That's fun. As soon as it gets cold, you think of the warm. As soon as it's warm, think of the cold. That's the material world. After elaborately presenting the details on the sarup of Bhagavan in the first three adhyayas of the Bhagavad Sandarbha, the final adhyaya institutes the superiority of Bhagavan over Brahman in order to remove the residual misapprehensions in accepting the form of Bhagavan as the highest tattva. Some people, because of their attachment to impersonal Brahman, opine that one realizes the highest bliss through oneness of the upadi, the form of the Lord, with Brahman, rather than realizing the Lord's fragrance and etc. separately. Right? So they're thinking that they just see the Lord, the form of the Lord, in Brahman. So they're doing the opposite. We see how Brahman, everything is in Krishna, coming from Krishna. Right? But they're seeing how everything is in Brahman. So you have the form of the Lord, this, that, it's all Brahman. So they can't appreciate, you know, all the Lord's fragrance, his behavior, his how he interacts, none of these. They don't have any meaning. In order to refute such misconceptions, Srila Jiva Goswami substantiates that the realization of the form of Bhagavan, along with the transcendental variegatedness of his abode and qualities, is superior to non-differentiated Brahman. First, the author discusses on the aspect of the fullness of Bhagavan, who is the very form of intense bliss, and who is complete in all respects, and thereby shows that the realization of Bhagavan is superior to that of Brahman. Right? Because Brahman has a certain level, but this is intense bliss. Brahman may be bliss, but this is intense bliss. Which is incomplete because of deficiency in the worshipper's qualifications. Right? Because point is if you exist by this Mayavad understanding, then if you exist to appreciate and worship, then you're already illusion. It's only when you don't exist, but then how do you work? So you can't understand. They're saying they become Brahman, they'll understand, but the point is understanding means then there must be a person. There must be consciousness that's aware, self-aware. But here is that, no, it's unconscious, it means there's consciousness, but there's no self-consciousness. So it's just emptiness. That's why you see it's actually Buddhism. Brahmanandis don't have that problem. They just see everything as Brahman, so it's all Brahman, Krishna's form is Brahman, so they see everything like that. But then because they're on that, they can tell the difference between, like the four Kumaras, between the Brahman, the general, and the Brahman, the origin. And so therefore, that's why it always mentions them, because they're able to tell that difference. So this other thing, it's just completely, This is demonstrated by citing the realization of great sages like Kumaras, Narad Muni, and Kardama Muni. After this, it is shown that the realization of Brahman is not dependent on Bhagavan realization. Is not independent. After this, it is shown that realization of Brahman is not independent of Bhagavan realization, by proving that Brahman aspect is an inseparable part of Bhagavan. And then the scriptural quotations are enlisted to clearly demonstrate that Bhagavan is the master of Brahman and thus is superior. After this, it is proven that Bhagavan is the chief the meaning of the word Brahman and the concept of absolute truth with no form and qualities is illusory. Having thus instituted Bhagavan as the ultimate reality and the highest realization of the absolute truth, next it is confirmed that Bhagavan is the objective of all Vedic knowledge to further affirm the supremacy of Bhagavan over Brahman. Having thus thoroughly established the Sarupa Bhagavan as the highest aspect of the absolute truth, next, the functions of various Shaktis of the Lord are enumerated to illuminate on the inconceivable nature of the Shaktis, which are non-different from a Sarup. Finally, in conclusion, the qualification of the Jivas to attain the realization of Bhagavan is discussed. Thus, this Adhyaya establishes Bhagavan as superior to Brahman, the Brahman aspect of... Or just to Brahman. Establishes Bhagavan as superior to Brahman.
Okay.
No, but then it's an aspect. You went to the aspect. Because of. Thus the Adhyaya establishes Bhagavan as superior to Brahman, to the Brahman aspect of the absolute truth, and thus is the highest tattva. Yeah, thus ends the discussion on the Bhagavad's Dharma. So that was summary of this Adhyayana.
Yes.
Okay. Summary of Bhagavat Sandarbha.
It is this fourth Adhyaya, then all the four Adhyayas together, the whole Bhagavat Sandarbha.
But then you put, thus ends the discussion on the Bhagavat Sandarbha. But the next, the summary, we're also going to have the discussion.
Ma'am.
So wouldn't we put it after that?
Yes, Maharaj.
Summary of Bhagavat Sandarbha. Right. In the second of the Sandarbhas, called Bhagavat Sandarbha, Srila Jiva Goswami established the Sarupa Bhagavan as the complete manifestation of the Absolute Truth, and Brahman as his partial manifestation. After first defining the three aspects of the Absolute Truth and the qualifications required for their manifestation, in order to oust the misconception propagated by Advaitavadis that Bhagavan, Saguna Brahman, is under the spell of material energy. The author, Srila Jiva Goswami, next described the Sarup of Bhagavan, which is eternal and manifest by his own spiritual potency. It is stated here that the personal Shaktis of the Lord are transcendental to material modes and coexist with him eternally, and they perform mutually contradictory functions that are unfathomable to the living entity because of possessing inconceivable, because of his possessing inconceivable nature. Otherwise, you think the living entity is possessing inconceivable. After establishing the transcendental status of the Lord's form, Srila Jiva Goswami further elaborated on the eternality of deity worship, the omnipotency of the deity, his all-pervasiveness, his giving shelter to everyone, his subtle and gross potencies, his personal manifestations, his expression of form, qualities, and pastimes, his transcendental position, and his complete form. In order to show that his form is untouched by the faults of Maya, even though he appears in the material world, the author further stated that everything pertaining to the Absolute has the same potency, and that the spiritual world, the associates in the spiritual world, and the threefold energies of the Lord in the spiritual world are all transcendental. Having thoroughly discussed the nature and attributes of Bhagavan, in order to irrefutably establish the superiority of Bhagavan, Srila Jiva Goswami next made a comparative analysis on Brahman and Bhagavan features of the Absolute Truth, where there are discussions on fullness of the personality of Godhead. Bhagavan as the objective of all Vedic knowledge and the personal potencies of the Lord. Thus the Bhagavad Sandarbha proves that Bhagavad Tattva, or the Sarupa Bhagavan, is the highest aspects of the Absolute Truth. Because, see, as you're establishing that you have authority, and that's coming from, you have Pratyaksha, Anuman, and Shabda. So Shabda is the thing. And of Shabda, that was coming from the Shastra. And of Shastra, then, specifically, Srimad Bhagavatam. And so then you're establishing that. Now you have to establish that. There's the, it talks about the absolute truth. So the absolute truth is actually a person. Mm-hmm. That's the point. So then the Brahman and all that that people seem to more easily relate to is a feature of Bhagavan. Mm-hmm. And so that being established, then we can see is, okay, then how he comes and controls everything, the cosmos, and then how he is a person, how he deals. Then it's, okay, now we've established his position, how do we have that relationship with him? Because this all establishes sambandha. Then that's through avideya. And what's the result or what's the purpose then? Bhakti. Right? So it's natural that you have to establish the form of the Lord, the swarup of the Lord, as the highest absolute truth. Mm-hmm. You know, just as the beginning element. So that's why it starts here. Mm-hmm. You know, so we've so nicely been given just directly to the person and not even worrying about all these others. Prabhupada talks about it a lot, but we may or may not relate to that. But the point is it's there. And so then when you're going through in an analytical presentation, then you get this.
Actually, in the spiritual world, there is no manifestation of Brahman and Paramatma.
No.
Only Bhagavan.
Because it's all Bhagavan. Because you're manifesting the existence of everything. But where is that coming from? Right? From his sarup of Sat. And it's carried out by the Sandini potency. So it's all just personal. There's no need, there's no concept of he's God. Means when in Vaikuntha there's the aspect he's God. But he's Bhagavan. But they're worshipping kind of like in that aspect of what do you call it? A Paramatma. Just like the Shanta Rasa is worshipping basically the person, but basically appreciating from that platform of this yes. Sandarbha. Yes. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So in other words, the Shanta Bhaktas worship in this, the Dasya with majesty then worship with the Paramatma aspect. It's all Bhagavan. But then the Brajvasis, then it's just Krishna, it's just Bhagavan, no majesty. So different flavors. So within Bhagavan, you have these three kind of aspects. Riti. Next, the first chapter of the Tattva Sutras is presented in order to help the students to deliberate further on the principles of Bhagavat Tattva as enunciated in the Bhagavat Sandarbha. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Sri Tattva Sutra. Truth. Table of Contents. Chapter 1, Tattva Prakarana, the Truth. Chapter 2, Chit Padartha Prakarana, Spirit. Chapter 3, Achit Padartha Prakarana, Matter. Chapter 4, Sambandha Prakarana, the Relationship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the Individual Spirit Souls. Chapter 5, Siddhanta Prakarana, the Final Conclusion. But isn't that, it's just five chapters in the work, no?
Yes.
Yes.
That I'm just giving the what is there in the whole thing. Now the first chapter is what matches to this.
Oh, okay. So we'll be dealing just with the first one. So also there, Siddhartha, it'll, as Sambandha Gyan, it'll talk about Avideya. But it's not that it actually defines Avideya. Like that. It means in Chitta Chitishwara, like this. It's all okay. Chapter 1. So this is chapter 1.
Yes.
Oh, okay. 4. Oh. Okay. Chapter 1. Tattva Prakarana, the Truth. Introduction by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura. All glories to Madan Mohan, who is eternal and full of knowledge and bliss. He is dear to the saintly devotees, and he is an ocean of mercy for the fallen souls. I, who thirst to taste a drop of Lord Madan Mohan's mercy, shall now write these sutras describing the eternal truths of spiritual life. As far as I understand, so I shall write. Bowing down before Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya, the eternal maintainer of all the worlds, I shall now write this Tattva Sutra and a commentary upon it. So they write the work, then they write their commentary. Mm-hmm. So it's a very standard thing. Very standard. Srimad Bhagavatam 1-11, Sutta Goswami explains, learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth, call the non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan. In the Yajurveda, Vajra Saneya Samhita, 7th mantra, it is said, one who always sees all living entities as spiritual sparks in quality in quality on with the Lord?
Maybe one.
On. In quality on. In quality one with the Lord becomes a true knower of things. What then can be illusion or anxiety for him? In Bhagavad Gita 7:7. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself declares, O conqueror of wealth, there is no truth superior to me. Everything rests on me as pearls are strung on a thread. In the Mangalacharan of the Narada Pancharatra, the author of that book declares, one should meditate on the Supreme Truth, who is known as Brahman, Paramatma, and Ishwara. His activities are never material. He is never touched by matter. He is never touched by the modes of material nature. He is beyond the world of matter. He is the master of all. He is everything. He is the cause of all causes. He is the eternal truth, the ancient and imperishable Supreme Person. In the Markandeya Puran, 4th chapter, it is said, nothing is smaller than me. Nothing is greater than me. He is the inborn creator of the universes. He is present everywhere. Right, so Krishna, as Bhagavan, talks about himself as Paramatma. Like in Gita, he also does that. He talks about Here he's talking about he. I didn't see it was he, yeah. Nothing is smaller than he. Nothing is greater than he. He is the creator of the universe. He is present everywhere. So then we're talking about Bhagavan. Here someone may protest. Is it not so that Sri Vyasadeva and other authors of sutras must always begin their sutra books with the word Atta, now? The sutras Atato Brahma Jigyasa and Atato Dharma Jigyasa are examples of this. This must be done both to bring auspiciousness and to state the topic one wishes to understand. Thus, when one writes a book about Brahman or about Dharma, one must begin with an introduction describing the topic to be discussed in the book. Why has the author of the Tattva Sutra not done this? Yes. If this protest is spoken, I give the following reply. This protest is not correct, because in the first sutra of the book, the auspicious Supreme Personality of Godhead is described. There is no need for a separate Mangalacharan to invoke auspiciousness. Also, the subject matter of the book is self-evidence, so it needs no introduction. Therefore, without any introduction, the first sutra declares. Right? So he's given an introduction, but it's just the Mangalacharan. But that's not the kind that they're looking for. This is just getting the benedictions and everything like that. Though it does say he's the maintainer of the world, so that indicates all these topics. Right? So they're used to the more mechanical aspect. Yes?
This part is a commentary on that sutra. Sutras itself doesn't give an introduction. He starts directly with the sutra.
So this is the
commentary.
Commentary on the first sutra.
The Tattva Sutra, introduction. He gave the introduction as a commentary, but the book itself has just like 50 sutras. That's why he spoke this point.
Oh, I see. Okay. But he put this before the first sutra or
before,
within the
before
first sutra? You sure he doesn't start with the first sutra and then this is the commentary?
No, after the first sutra, commentary is already there.
Oh, okay. So he puts this all before the whole thing. Okay. Like that. Okay, so I end here. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
So he's already foreseeing
yes.
The anxiety, so he already comments.
The protestation, the money protestation.
Yes, the protestation.